Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College, continuing our discussions of the skeletal system. Today we're going to turn our attention to the fetal skull. Beginning with a picture from your textbook, here's a right lateral view of a fetal skull. And the first thing I want to tell you is when you see this on a test, do not freak out. Students have a tendency to totally freak when they see this thing. But the good news is there's only one question and only one answer when you see the baby skull on the test, because the only thing you're responsible for are the soft spots. And the soft spots always have the same root word, which is fontanelle. Fontanelle in Greek means little fountain, and that's how the soft spots got their names years ago when somebody first found these things. Then simply by knowing your directional terms, you can pick off each of these individually and get them all totally right. So I consider this a freebie, a gimme on the test. Let me point them out on this picture first. In the front, we have the largest one called the anterior fontanelle because it's in the front. In the back, we have a smaller one and it's called the posterior fontanelle because it's in the back. Then turn your attention towards the front side. That's called the anterolateral fontanelle. Yeah, because it's on the front side. Followed by, finally, the one on the back side, called accordingly the posterolateral fontanelle. So you see how easy it is? Now let me ask you some serious questions, more clinical questions, something more relevant for the lecture, for example. Why do we have fontanelles? Why do we have soft spots? Same sort of deal on the sutures. Two major reasons. Number one, to allow us to be born, so we have a much easier journey out of the birth canal. If the head was a solid mound of bone, it'd be a lot harder to get out of the birth canal. So we have these soft spots so we can get squished out of that birth canal a lot easier. That's what leads to that misshapen appearance you'll sometimes see of the head. You know, you call that the banana head. I remember when my son was born, he had that big banana head after he came out, and then they always put that hat on the top, right? That hat to kind of camouflage the banana head. But everyone knows he's got the banana head. But the good news is, you know, it all kind of evens out in the end. The second reason we have the soft spots is to allow for our brain to grow. There's rapid brain development during the first couple years of life or so. So it's nice that our skull can expand to accommodate that big brain that we're going to grow. You'll also notice that the pediatricians very gently feel these things because they want to make sure that they're fusing at the proper times. I believe the last one to fuse is typically the anterior fontanelle, usually at about 2 years of age. But look, don't go mashing on these things because the brain's right under these soft membranes and you can actually cause serious damage. Let's take a look at the real deal. Yes, this is a fetal skull, a real human one. Anterior view. I'm going to point at the first fontanelle with my arrow. Here it is on the front of the skull, right smack dab in the middle. It's the biggest one, and sure enough, you're all going to call it the anterior fontanelle. Let's turn this and look at it from the top side down. This is anterior, this is posterior, and here's a real nice shot of the biggest soft spot you will all call the anterior fontanelle. Let's turn it, look at a posterior view. Here is the soft spot in the back, so it's easy. You will call it the posterior fontanelle when you see it tagged on the test. I want you to take note of something here on this little baby skull. I want you to be very careful with it in the laboratory. Look, it's already been cracked. It shows you how thin and how fragile a baby skull is. It's almost like an eggshell. Handle it like an egg in lab so we don't damage it any further than it has been. I've got a story to tell you that is relevant to this at the very end of this discussion. Let's move on and name the last two fontanelles. Here comes the right lateral view. If they put a tag here, don't freak out. I know it might look a little confusing, but you know the answer is some kind of fontanelle. You know it's on the front side of the skull, so the answer will be anterolateral fontanelle. Same thing back here. I know it don't look like much, but trust me, they might tag it. And you know the answer is fontanelle, so just use your directions. It's on the back side, so you're all going to call it the posterolateral fontanelle, and you're going to get it right every single time. This story I'm about to tell you is a true story. It didn't happen around here, so don't go trying to figure it out. One day, a mother brought her baby into the emergency room. The baby had been bitten on the head and the face by their dog. The doctor that day was swamped. He had heart attack patients, stroke patients, trauma victims. So when he got to the child, all he saw were a few puncture wounds. So he was going real fast to try to get through his day, and he treated the wounds like you and I would, as a layman, treat wounds, you know. Rinse them out, irrigate them, the antibiotic thing. Of course, you have to rule out the possibility of rabies. You have to do the whole tetanus thing. But all he did was clean out the wounds, give antibiotics, covered the basics that you and I know before we ever took any courses, and sent the child out. Well, the baby came back later on almost dead, with a severe meningitis that had almost developed into a brain abscess. Why? He forgot anatomy 101. Remember the other slide I showed you? The baby's head is thin and fragile like an eggshell. Your job as a healthcare provider is don't kill the patient. Anybody can deal with easy things. I mean, look, colds are going to get better 90% of the time, no matter what you do. Patients are relying on you to be able to handle the difficult things. Really, the first thing that should have went through this physician's mind was, hey, maybe that puncture wound went deeper and perforated the skull and injected the brain with some bad bacteria. And the doctor should have done the appropriate diagnostics and treatments to avoid that situation. Unfortunately, he didn't remember Anatomy 101. With that story being told, I don't want that to ever happen to any of you listening to this tape. I hope that brings it down to earth, makes it seem real, and show you why you should care. And on that note, we'll end this section. Next time we get together, we'll finish up the bones of the axial skeleton.